Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
What is going on, you crazy kids? It is Friday. I don't know why she's laughing already, but it's Friday, April 11th. Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We got a lot to talk about. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun show. We got a ton to talk about. Because as you saw on the thumbnail, maybe if you watch a show on YouTube or Facebook or wherever. I made a thumbnail called Super Lame Party, based off the ending of last week's AEW Dynasty. And you guys know me, I'm pretty much a very positive person.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to wrestling. And last week was a letdown of, it was just a letdown, you know? So I'm glad that we are here, that we get to talk about this, because I've been waiting to talk about this. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Hi, Rob. I'm so glad to see you. You know, besides us talking at length before the show. So if you guys were wondering if I was cracking my ass off right when, you know, when we started the show, Rob told me, hey, Maggie, you know how it shows an image of us right before our show starts? And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's really disturbing. And he was like, I'm gonna make this go away. And he just, you know, the logo of our coexisting thing. And I was like, that cracked me up. It's like, I expect this to be something magical. And it just,
yeah, no, like it just came to me. Like, I'm like, how the hell do I stop it? And like, I noticed it the other day when I was watching, I think it was In the Weeds, and I saw that they had a picture up or something before the show started. I'm like, that's it. So
that's it. So we have to say out loud that Joel Pearl is a genius, correct? So like,
well,
that's,
yeah, I assume. Yeah, yeah, I assume that's what it is.
All love to your friend Joel Pearl. He's one of,
yeah, he's heading to Vegas next week.
He's heading to Vegas. I hope Joel Pearl has fun, not. And so, like, do you know what I've been dealing with, Rob? So this is really funny. When I was in my teen years and up to my 28 years of age,
okay,
I wore baggy jeans, and by baggy jeans, I mean, you know, straight up hip hop jeans, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. That was my jam. So at some point I told myself, it's time for you to grow up and put some big girl pants. And then I started wearing skinny jeans. And it was incredibly hard for me to transition into that, because all of a sudden everyone could see the shape of my legs. And that's a huge problem for me. So it's been years now. Okay. So like 8 years I've worn skinny jeans. And now all of a sudden, me wearing skinny jeans, I look like an old lady because everyone's wearing baggy jeans again. You know, the Gen Z pants, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so I have to transition back if I don't want to look like an old lady, you know, who goes around offering apples to beautiful women. No, like that's... And so I had to force myself to put on, you know, baggy jeans again. And I'm like, I look fat. I just look fat. And that's not the case. That's not true. I know that that's not true. But like, I think I'm fat in those Gen Z girl pants. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy those, even though I look like a sow. So I just bought the pants and I took them to, you know, what do you call it? Like sewing lady thing?
Oh, yeah. Sewing lady, yeah. No,
yeah, sewing lady. Thank you.
Like an altar shopper. I don't know what they call it.
Yes, thank you. Because I'm short and they had to take out this amount of fabric, you know. Jeez. Yeah, I'm really short. I'm 5'1".
No, the fact that they had to cut that much pants.
Because apparently the new generation of girls or women or whatever you want to call them, they're, you know, freakishly tall.
That's it. Thank you, Tom.
Seamstress. Thank you, Tom. You wonderful.
Or Taylor. Yeah, Taylor.
See, I know all these words.
I do too. It just doesn't come to me because... Well, it's
like I know I'm in Bulgarian, but like here's, you know,
super thing. Surprised they even have those in Bulgaria.
There you go. Because Ryan's not in the chat. You're taking his place. Thank you so much. Damn it. Yeah, so they had to tailor those and I went to work with them today. And I felt really good. It's really weird. I feel like a teenager. I don't look like one, but it's a... It's going to take some getting used to because, yeah. Hopefully, because summer is coming and I'm going to be wearing my shorts. Hopefully, when autumn comes, they're going to fit me too. Like, still, I'm having... transition, you know, into a skinnier or a, you know, more bulkier, you know, figure, which if I keep going, my butt is going to be huge with, you know, my workouts and maybe I will not fit into those jeans. But guys, hi, this is a wrestling show.
My question for you is, have you ever worn have you ever worn apple bottom jeans with boots with the fur? And the whole club was looking at you?
Looking at her.
Then you hit the flow?
Is this the third time in a row that you're making a Flo Rida reference during the show?
Today? No, I think. I don't think so.
Not today.
Oh. I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. By the way, what's apple bottom jeans?
I need to look it up so I can explain it correctly.
Okay, let me just Google it because, like I said, this is a wrestling show.
Because I can say what it is, but I know like it is not. I would say it different. I want to see this reaction. That's why I'm not talking.
Are those apple bottom jeans?
Yeah, but okay.
Is this slang?
Not really. I would say it is
generally designed for women with full hips.
There you go.
Okay. You're asking if I have a big butt. Yes, I have a big butt.
Okay.
I do. Like, I'm really, really short, but I have a huge butt because I work out. And my thighs are really thick.
Becky, look at that butt. It is so big.
It's just so round. Okay, guys.
Okay.
This is a wrestling show. Thank you so much for joining us. Please drop a like. Just like the video. Okay.
Just like it.
Just like the video. Share the social media. Tell all your friends about us, because your friends need to know about us. And please send us your super chat at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. Any amount will get your question read live on the air. If you're watching on any other platform, you can send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds. We genuinely, encourage people to send us their comments there. We appreciate you a ton. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked on YouTube. Please subscribe to the main channel for Fightful on YouTube. Please subscribe to all of our social medias, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, of course.
MySpace.
ICQ.
Oh, yeah, ICQ.
Yes,
send ICQ. Us a message on AOL Messenger. Yes,
please do that. You know, screw you. I miss MySpace. That was so good.
It was fun.
Yes, it was ridiculously fun. And guys, definitely not least. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. The Discord is probably, the Q&As on Discord that Sean does are probably one of the best reasons why you should subscribe to Fightful Select. Also, the Weekender podcast with our friend Steven Jensen, Grapsity. And what did you?
I was just going to say, like, with the Discord, we do the bet online, picks.
Oh, yes.
You can pretty much make your money back off getting select right there if you follow the locks.
I will never forget the fact that someone made a bet on Bet Online for World's End last year, the year before.
Yeah.
And they got their money back for New Year's Eve because of, the money they made from mm-hmm. a bet. So please bet responsibly, guys.
Yeah, bet responsibly.
Please be responsible and mature, all of the wrestling fans
yeah.
are.
Don't follow our lead. Yeah.
Don't never.
Yeah, we got two super chats. Tom Talks Rubbish says, "What's up?" Two of my favorite people. What is up, Tom? I hope you were doing well, my friend.
I hope you're doing well, sweetie. I'm fine just staying alive. That is the best way to put it, staying alive. I hope you're doing amazing.
Staying alive. Alive. Check out Tom's channel, Tom Talks Rubbish. He has tons of interviews on there. And then we got
Doc. Really pay-per-views.
Taylor, I barely knew her. yeah.
Hello, sweetie. Our friend Chris, the loveliest voice ever. Please stay up until the end of the show for you to listen to the Cooper Effect that we got. Special thanks to Chris Mueller. I really wanted to do a Cooper Effect on this specific story. And just FYI, a little peek behind the curtain, one of the most beautiful cats I've ever seen. Just stay tuned for the
Cooper. We hurting people. We hurting. The way you said we curtains. You just said hurting. So I was like, we hurt it's people.
Or Iraqi curtains.
Yeah. Oh, God. Maggie, let's start talking some wrestling. Can you name, there's been times where you watch, well, yeah, we do. There's been times where you watch a movie and it's so good. And then at the very end, it just ruins.
Shit.
Yeah. AEW Kenny Dynasty. Said it.
Kenny said it himself, Dookie.
Yeah, Dookie. I wanted that to be the thumbnail on Wednesday. Dookie. And that got vetoed.
Damn it.
I kind of understand why, but for the Wednesday post show anyways. But anyways, yeah, Dynasty was a fantastic show. And then all of a sudden, it just went down the crapper. I was not a big fan. Now, granted, I'm glad don't get me wrong, I'm glad the Young Bucks are back, because anytime they get to wrestle, you're gonna get a fun match, you know. Absolutely. Like that's for sure. However, that's two pay-per-views in a row, or no, more, in my opinion, three pay-per-views. Well, okay, I'll say two for sure. The last two pay-per-view endings just were letdowns. Just complete letdowns. I really thought, and we both predicted it last week, we both thought Swerve was going to win this title, because it made the most sense. But he did not win the title.
Well, if you remember, I picked Moxley.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You did change your, like, you did, now that you said that, I remember. But yeah, like, I just didn't get it. I was surprised and shocked, but, by it. I just thought they were going to go that route because it made the most sense. And I guess they must have a plan, I hope. I hope they have a plan, because right now it's just not for me. It hasn't been for me. I'm curious, what was your reaction?
Well, you know, let me just, answer Kate, because Kate's in the chat from the Made Fightful channel. Yes, yeah, so sperm graphics are okay, you know, the Orton thing.
Yeah, I'm going to post it here.
Yeah, so sperm graphics are okay, but Dookie isn't. So,
yeah,
priorities, well, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes,
I think so, mainly because they're sponsors for that show.
So the reason why I picked Moxley to win that match, was because I was challenging the universe. But what I didn't want to happen is for me to be right. But the truth is, I can definitely I could see it, you know, Moxley retaining, and it did happen. So boo. There's a lot of controversy online that they're trying to view this specific storyline as we used to view the Bloodline story. But there is a huge thing that's missing there. And that is the fact that all the people from the Bloodline had incredible, fully developed characters. Everyone had a place and everyone had a story behind them in the Bloodline. This isn't the case with the Death Riders, because none of the people besides Moxley have any character depth whatsoever. And this is me protesting this, because I've been incredibly vocal on our show that I'm incredibly in love with Cesaro / Claudio the Wrestler. Mm-hmm. Incredibly, incredibly behind the guy. And Pac, like, the only person which I think is benefiting from all of this is Wheeler Yuta. And that's, you know, mildly. Because yeah. I can definitely see him having a match against Bryan Danielson, because after they, you know, put an end to Bryan Danielson's in-ring career, Yuta just adopted, you know, the Busai Kone. And he's finishing matches that way. And I can definitely see a future with Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta. I can see that. But like, they, all of their power towards the evolution of this entire storyline / group is entirely centered around the non-existing titles, because they're not showing them whatsoever, and the fact that Moxley cannot get the job done on his own.
Yeah.
Nor the trio of Claudio, Pac, and Yuta. You know, every time someone from that group has a match, the other, you know, gets involved, which is the bloodline aspect of the thing. But they're absolutely not seeing the case that everyone in the bloodline had a purpose and they had a backstory. And without a specific person in the bloodline, the bloodline would not be the same. And this isn't the case with the Death Riders, because by this point, I can replace anyone from the Death Riders with another randomly picked wrestler from the roster. And again, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm saying this with all the love and passion in the world because I desperately needed this faction to work. I said this on our last week's show, or the one previously, you know, before that. The Death Rider story had all the fucking potential in the world. The way that they started to be a thing was by trying to commit murder in the ring.
Yeah.
Look me in the eye and tell me that's not cool. I mean, I don't care if it was your favorite wrestler. I love Bryan Danielson. And I suppose that this was their goal, to make this into an extremely unstoppable force. And they did not do that. So what happened was the lights went out just as soon as we thought that Swerve was winning the match, because Hangman came out and we were like, there you go. He's going to be torn. Who to attack? Would it be Moxley or Swerve or whatever? And then he decided to target Moxley. And then, you know, the Death Riders got involved. And then the Ops came. It was a mess there for a while. And then the Ops came out and then they started, you know, brawling with the Death Riders to the back. And I'm like, there you go. That's it. And then the lights went out. And all of a sudden, my logical brain thought that this was Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Because that was logically the only person in my mind to be in the way of, you know, Swerve losing. And then it was the Young Bucks. Okay, listen to me. I want you to take everything that I'm about to say, having in mind that I am probably one of the biggest Young Bucks fans. I'm not even kidding. I'm a huge Elite girl. I fucking hate this. Because it makes no sense. So they gave Swerve the EVP trigger and then Moxley just went out and won the match. So what happened was that on this week's Dynamite, Moxley beat Shibata extremely quickly, and then Young Bucks came out. And I'm like, okay, there you go, context. Give me an explanation as to why everything happened. And then Moxley just left the ring. And he's like, fuck that. You know, I mean, yeah. And then he went home. And the Young Bucks were like, well, we were hoping that Moxley joined us in the ring for this. But everything that we did was for our friend Hangman. We did that for you because we, you know, we're still friends. And I'm like, you shooed the guy out of the Elite and then you took him on your team at Blood and Guts just because you wanted someone to fight against Swerve. And there was no, furthering of the storyline there. They just flat out came back and said that I did it for the hanger.
I want to address this comment from Clown. He might make a good point here. Does the link of the AEW pay-per-views make it even worse and more glaring rather when the ending falls flat, man. I think, yeah, to a big extent.
The length of AEW pay-per-views is a huge problem at itself. If the finish is crappy, I'm not going to give a crap if it's 3 hours or 6 hours. I'm going to hate the end nonetheless. But yes, it does.
Thank you. Jey Uso joined the show. Thank you for joining. Yeet. From Facebook. Hello. Yes. I saw that. I know Triple H is watching.
Yes, this is probably Triple H's burner.
Tony Khan's watching, you know. So
yes,
we got it.
Tony Khan is watching, of course. So it does mean that it's a bit more disappointing because you just sat through a 6-hour pay-per-view. And it was for that. You know, this is the equivalent of I shaved for this. This is that's it. I shaved for this and I'm more dry than sand. So this so the Bucks, come on, it's been almost 4 years now. Come on.
I know, I understand. It's just
I know. I get it. So the Young Bucks said that this was sort of a peace offering to the Death Riders, because the Death Riders did what the Elite could never do. I love you too, Peggy, sweetie. So the Young Bucks wanted to take over AEW, but they couldn't, and then the Death Riders did. It's a mess, man. It's a mess. And then, right as I was so bored when I was watching this segment, and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm watching the Young Bucks and I'm bored. Seriously. And this is really hard for me to say this. Again, I love the Young Bucks. And then Kenny Omega's theme hit, and I was like, oh! An audible awe. You know, like, oh, there you go. And then he said that he shared a story from his, you know, from his past about, you know, a lot of dookies being dropped on the carpet. And I'm like, that's so funny, man. That's so... I love Kenny. And then he was like, yeah, you did a lot of shit when I was gone. And then he was like, I'm going to get in the ring and I'm going to kick your arse. And then out came Okada. Yes.
Which you're obviously setting up for All In, I think.
Of course, yeah. This is more.
Of course, it's still early. They could be doing Double or Nothing, but I think
they're not.
You have to save this for All In. If anything, do a tag match.
They can do Swerve, Hangman, and Kenny versus the Young Bucks and Okada. They can do that. I just take all my money for that. That's so cool. All the money just so Hangman and Kenny could tag again. Seriously. And then, cool. Yeah, Swerve came out, the Elite ran away, and then Kenny and Swerve had little, you know, a fist bump. That's cool. But like, all of this was so stupid, man. All of it was incredibly stupid besides one thing. And one thing only. I love everything that Hangman is a part of. Everything. So yeah. He barged into Swerve's dressing room and he saw Nana and he was there. And he said, I want you to tell Swerve that I didn't do what I did on Sunday because I wanted to help him. And he was like, I'm starting the Owen next week. So on next week's Dynamite, he's going to, you know, have his match against the Wild Card. And said, I don't want Swerve to get in my way, just to make things clear. And then Nana wanted to apologize from the breaking and entering thing that started this entire thing with him and Swerve. And Hangman was like, you don't get to apologize.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that. That's so fucking good, man. That is, AEW is Hangman. That's it. Hangman is this entire company the most over character that that company has. This is so good. And you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that you're not enjoying everything that Hangman, wow, that Hangman's been doing. I'm so incredibly in love with that. So incredibly in love. But other than that, listen, Dynasty was a fine pay-per-view, okay? It was fine. But like that finish was so, so bad, man. I wanted to ask you something because we talked about the three-way between Omega, Speedball, and Ricochet having the potential to be, you know, the great, you know, three-way match that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
This absolutely delivers for me, and I'm so, so in love with this triple threat. And I feel like it's up there with the one from TNA with AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe. What did you think of that? I viewed it because I love that triple threat, and I kind of feel like Ricochet shined in that match, and we had an excellent showing for Speedball if people weren't familiar with him from Impact/TNA before, and Kenny Omega is just gonna Kenny Omega. But what did you think of the three-way?
Yeah. The match was fantastic. It was really good. I also thought like Ricochet like was great, but I also think Bayley had a good coming out party too for a lot of fans that maybe not have watched him on Dynamite, because I have friends that don't watch Dynamite. They just watch the pay-per-views, and they were really impressed with him. So I like that it was just an overall great match. Like, it was very good. I enjoyed this whole card. One of my favorite matches was Toni Storm and Megan Bain. I thought that was great. I thought Megan Bain might actually win, and I mean, that's how good the storytelling was in the actual match. So
yeah, but like she lost against her small package. So
yeah, well, sometimes you win against a small package, sometimes you lose against a small package.
Yes.
But the thing is what you need to realize, Maggie, is there's sperm right there. So if you're listening to the podcast, you're like, what? There, so
yeah, that's what Kate was referencing in, you know, yeah, in the comments. So yeah, we can have a, you know, sperm thing.
Yeah, Kevin Owens made a comment. Was it Chris Van Vliet where he said that to, or was it? I can't remember.
I don't think it was
Chris, but basically, he was watching. He was at WrestleMania watching, and basically, he just said that Randy looked like he was just walking with a giant sperm instead of like the snake. And yeah, so, you know, good on Randy. He's a good sport, took it right off the chin and swallowed his pride.
Stop
so.
It. No.
Yes, sir.
Stop it, Robert.
Yeah,
Kevin mentioned that Randy Orton was absolutely 100% aware that he was going to walk down the aisle.
Robbie Fox at Barstool. Robbie's awesome, yes, too. Yes. So, and I should have remembered. I watched it, but you know me and my short-term memory. It's out.
Yes. Yeah, so basically Randy Orton walked down the aisle with a sperm. So that's everyone's dream, I suppose. Yeah. But man, I love Kevin Owens. We're going to talk about Kevin Owens later. So Ospreay and Kevin Knight again. Amazing match. I mean, the match was absolutely everything that we all thought that it was going to be.
And that was another one. Like, I watched it with a couple of friends of mine, and they have never seen Kevin Knight wrestle. So that was pretty cool just to see their reaction. Because I told them, like, you guys are going to like this guy. He's good. He's fun to watch. He's fast. And He's good. Like, he reminds me of Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher and Ricochet and, like, to an extent, Mike Bailey. Like, he has, like, this just physique and these moves that just, he's going to be a star. I know that.
I cannot wait for Kevin Knight, Kyle Fletcher to mix it in, because it's going to be something amazing to watch. And our friend Soupy in the chat is absolutely correct. Briscoe and Fletcher had no right to slap that hard. It's, yeah, because this flat out, this was the match that I was least looking forward to, because I'm not invested in the match between the two. But, like, they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're listening to us talking about the show was fine. The finish sucked. A bag of dicks. A huge bag of dicks.
Oh, Jesus.
You know?
It took me a second to, yeah.
The dick riders, like Samoa Joe called them. The dick riders.
Good God.
Yes. The ops made a challenge for the Death Riders for the Trios Championships, I suppose. I hope that they win and actually do something with the Trios Championships. Yes.
Big dick rider.
God.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that.
Your way. That. Thank you to and the Weed for that. They're the ones that loaded that. No.
So once again, we need to praise Joel Pearl. Fuck that.
Or Jeremy. One of the two did.
Or Jeremy. Yes, we love Jeremy. We love Jeremy Joel Lambert. Too. We just,
Jeremy Lambert.
Yes.
No relation to Christopher Lambert.
None whatsoever. Oh, FTR turned on Adam Copeland.
Turned heel, yeah.
Yes. The big old Shatter Machine, and then Cash to Concertos to Copeland, and then they left with the neck brace.
Hey, you know what I like about that? Yeah. You know what I liked about that? That the Concertos? It's like their buddy from the FTR KO days. How did Randy Orton take Edge out?
Oh my God.
I just liked it. I don't think it was like planned by any means, but I liked it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Randy Orton in the Revival.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just made me think back about that.
Well, I didn't remember that whatsoever. So, like, kudos to you for remembering that. Aims at the fact that Christian and Edge are gonna have a match.
They might have. I forgot if it is.
Yes. Yes.
Where did it go? Bonkers asked if Pac was injured serious or not. It's definitely serious because they're doing an MRI on it. I think they did the MRI already, but hopefully he's going to be good to go. Not too long, I hope. It always sucks when any wrestler gets hurt, but hopefully he's back soon. Yes. We're good. Thank you, Maggie Sajak.
Another Maggie. Hi.
Maggie Sajak. That's Pat Sajak's daughter, I think, from Wheel of Fortune. We just get the celebs, man.
No doubt that that's her. Yep. Zero doubt.
Never know.
So while we're on the subject of wrestlers being injured, do you want to...
Yeah, we might as well. Last last Friday.
Yes.
Kevin Owens came out and announced that he was injured and he would be missing WrestleMania, which, oh man, that was heartbreaking because Maggie and I both love and adore Kevin Owens. And there's so many people that love that man, like just appreciate him. And he's so damn good at what he does. And it sucks. I mean, like I said, with Pac, you know, when you lose a wrestler that you just absolutely love to watch and it's a serious injury and we honestly don't know, how long he'll be out. Cause every injury is different, you know, like, I mean, I'm hoping it's a short-term thing, obviously, but we don't know yet. And, it sucks because Kevin, he always makes TV more interesting, you know,
always.
Like there's two people in wrestling, no matter who they team up with, I always know that there's a potential they will turn heel on them. It's Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. They're the two. Like every time, it doesn't matter. I can see a heel turn or them turning face on somebody. Like that's just shows how damn good they are at what they do. And the fact that we might not have Kevin for a while, it saddens me because he's so damn good at what he does, and he's so real, you know, like he feels like the most authentic in wrestling. Like, you know what I mean? Like he feels like it between him and Samoa Joe, they just feel like regular people that you would know. And that's what I like about Kevin Owens. And it sucks. Like I was really down. Cause I knew that the report was that he was injured, but I didn't know it was like a serious injury, you know, like I was.
Yeah. We talked about it on our show last week before SmackDown.
Yeah.
Because the news was already out there.
Yeah. And it sucks. And I know that, we're not the only ones out there and, we just hope for a speedy recovery and, that he comes back healthy and ready to go if that's what it is. But it definitely is a bummer and I can't wait for him to get back. We already, like I said on the thumbnail, we already miss him. So Kevin, I know you're watching right now. So sure. We can't wait for you to come back. We get everybody to watch. I mean,
yeah,
like,
I know we're popular.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so you were quite thorough, sharing, all your thoughts about Kevin. And here's the stupid thing. My dumb wrestling brain, while I was watching SmackDown last week before work, and he was out there, and he was like, I'm injured and everything. And my stupid wrestling brain was like, this is a rib. Randy Orton is going to come out and he's going to kick his ass and everything. And then he did. And then I saw that he was wearing, you know, a pink sweat,
Bret Hart.
Underneath the hoodie, he had a Finn Balor t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And he would never do that in kayfabe. You know, he would always wear his own, you know, stuff.
Like sometimes. Like, I remember he would wear, like, Dusty Rhodes shirt when he was...
If he was the face.
Yeah. Well, no, he wore Dusty's shirt when he was a heel, too, though.
When he was feuding with Cody?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I was like, well, hold on. That's a...
Yeah, he had a Stardust shirt too.
Yeah. and then Randy Orton came out, and then Kevin Owens just moved past him, and I'm like, oh shit, this is for real. And again, this is the stupid wrestling brain in me. You know, if we didn't have all the segments with, you know, with Mark Henry, and then with all the others, and I'm like, just please don't make fun of, you know, really. Well, not make fun of, but like, don't make this into a storyline, because, you know, it really hurts when it does. And then, Nick Aldis told Randy Orton that his WrestleMania future is in the air, and then Randy Orton RKO'd him, and I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So you want to know what's interesting about that is when that's the second time that he's RKO'd Nick
Aldis. I know.
But so when he got fined. He got fined $50,000, but he gave more, and he said that's for next time.
Okay, did you yourself remember that?
I saw somebody else say.
Yeah, because so. I would have been hella impressed if you.
No, I'm not that good, but Clown says he wore a Naomi shirt when he was feuding with the Usos.
But he's so good, man. The reason why I personally adore Kevin Owens, first of all, he's incredibly, incredibly wholesome. He had a day out. I don't remember who he was having a walk with, but like they were walking around, you know, a certain European city, and he was like, "Oh, look, a swan."
Yeah, I think he was with Kathy Kelly.
Oh, look, a swan.
Yeah.
Which he does that, and like he was the one person who nonstop all the time filled in logic gaps in WWE storytelling, which we desperately needed, and that is why everyone could fall easily in love with Kevin Owens, because thank you for explaining things that make no sense. But like he does that, you know, mental gymnastics thing, and then all of a sudden everything makes sense to you, and I feel stupid for not thinking that, you know, myself.
So I was just gonna add on to the Kathy Kelly thing. So like on Monday I was at Raw at the Target Center in Minneapolis, and I got up to go. So Steven Jensen, our friend from The Spotlight and The Weekender. He asked me if I could try to get some merchandise possibly for him, like depending on what they had. So I went during like a commercial break. And when I left, they were getting, I don't know if you watch the international version. I assume you do. I don't know like when you download it or watch it when you stream Raw, which version you watch, but I don't know. So did you see the Ludwig promo?
The Kaiser thing?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Basically, he just said that he's looking for a WrestleMania opponent.
Yeah, sure.
So, but like where they did that promo, like to get there, they walked right by me, him and Kathy Kelly. And
is he huge?
Oh, he's obviously in great shape, but Kathy Kelly in person, like, I was just like, wow. I just wanted to say that.
She's really beautiful.
Really beautiful. I was just like, wow. And then security told me to stay away again. No, I'm kidding. They didn't. They never said that. They're like, Wilkins, you're back. No, they didn't do that.
Yes. So I'm incredibly gutted for Kevin Owens. And the fact that I know that I'm not going to see him on my television just breaks my heart. It just breaks me from the inside, and I feel like every week on the show I tell everyone to make a buttload of new belts so that they could give it to Kevin Owens, and because every time he deserved the world, man, every time. And I'm so incredibly sad. So sad. And the moment he sets foot back into the WWE, he's going to get that huge pop.
Yeah. It'll be pretty damn good when it happens. I can't wait.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's see here.
So let's talk about something that sucks.
Okay, go ahead.
Tiffany and Charlotte.
Yeah. That was weird.
So, yeah, okay, you start, because what the fuck?
Well, you know, it went off the rails, like we know. I, you know, like, thank you, Captain Obvious. I know what you're thinking there. I hate that it got that personal. But I will say this. It did go, like, it was bad, but guess what? They got a lot more people interested in their match now.
Facts.
So, did I think it was, if you never know with wrestling, like we know what Fightful Select reported and stuff, but it's one of those things where, they went at it, and Charlotte Flair, she got flustered, and you don't see that often. That crowd was all over her. Chicago, like we know, is a whole different beast when it comes to crowds. And it was a tough one for her. And I do think that Tiffany was out of line. But, you know, it's one of those things where I thought Charlotte was out of line for what she said about Ludwig and her DMs. There was a tweet that somebody had the next day, or maybe it was that same night, that Ludwig's the first person that's ever been accused of cheating, and we all know he didn't.
He didn't do it.
Yeah. I couldn't help but laugh at that. So, yeah, it's one of those things. It could have been better. But they got people interested, and I think that's what matters now to them.
Yes. So you put it perfectly. I think this was incredibly poorly handled. And that's, you know, putting it mildly. So you're absolutely right. Charlotte really rarely does the crowd get one up on her. But I view it as her having a hard time dealing with all the things that she's been dealing with recently. And maybe all of this is getting to her. This is just me. I do not know the woman. And I would have no way of knowing whatever she's going through. So she was on that live TV show, correct? Is it live?
Was it?
Yeah.
The talk show. I don't believe it was live. I don't believe it. Well, hell, now I don't know. I doubt it was live, but either way.
Okay, so, you know, the talk show. And that took courage, you know, to open herself up to talk about mm-hmm. that. So I don't usually point fingers, and I will not point fingers here as well, because pointing fingers is just stupid, and that's a criticism without being, you know, constructive criticism. It was poorly handled on both sides. First, you know, Charlotte made fun of Tiffany's voice, which is, I'm sorry, that is, what is this, kindergarten? And then Tiffany went off script, you know, mentioning everything that Charlotte's been dealing with. And then Charlotte fought back. So we could talk about Tiffany's inexperience when it comes to in-ring promos and stuff like that. On the other hand, we can talk about Charlotte probably being the bigger person, because she's a veteran when it comes to stuff like that. But she fired back as well. So again, poorly handled. I would suppose that from moving forward, they're going to be heavily scripted. Fightful Select reported that they both had heat backstage because of the way that this entire segment went. And Tiffany knew damn well that she was gonna get it from Charlotte, and then she immediately left the ring. Incredibly hard to watch, but you are absolutely 100% correct that it did get everyone talking about this match. And I'm looking forward to it even more now, because before that segment, the match was in my head just going to be an exciting match to watch. And now it's personal. And yeah. I know that a lot of people are going to hate watch it just to see whether if it turns into a crash, a dumpster fire, because of, you know, real life stuff.
So, like Soupy asked in the chat, did we learn who got off script first? Yeah, Fightful Select reported that it was Charlotte Flair that went off script first. So,
yeah, when she made fun of Tiffany's voice, yep. Which was, at itself, really, really weird. This didn't sound like Charlotte, because, like, I know she always gets one up on people on the microphone, but. Like that's what she does, but it was really weird for her to say that. And
yeah,
on Tiffany's turf, you do not bring up so much personal things in promos without the consent of the other person. And having in mind that another colleague of Tiffany is involved in this, you know, yeah. thing, and it's Andrade. And she didn't talk to him neither. So
yeah. Yeah. And I do.
We have no idea of knowing that.
Yeah. And I do hope that, I mean, they're all adults. So, I mean, it's easy for me to just say, but I do hope that she like brought like a, maybe she apologized. I don't know. Like to him, I know that's what I would do, but I mean, yeah, no. Well, yeah, Coach Log said it after us, if that's the case. But yeah, we reported it. But yeah, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns.
Why are people not liking this?
I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'm
enjoying the crap out of this entire thing. And people are bitching about this online. I'm like, what? What are you?
I didn't know people bitched online. Is this a new thing?
No.
Okay.
So, from the last time that we were on the show, Paul Heyman told Punk that he belongs in the main event of WrestleMania. He desperately wanted to know what the favor was. So, because he was scared of Roman, and we were made aware that he was the one who begged CM Punk to back them up at War Games. Seth came out and he was like, I'm not going to miss this for the world. And when Roman arrived at the venue, he just made a complete beeline towards the ring, passing through Paul Heyman, not even looking at him. He said that the only reason Punk was in the main event of WrestleMania was himself.
Yeah.
Seth came to the ring, and he said that Punk did what he did at War Games because he wanted a favor, and everything that Seth Rollins was doing was to change the industry. So Punk said that it was about friendship and loyalty, and at WrestleMania he wanted Roman to force Roman to deal with us, and by us he meant Paul Heyman and him, because he wanted Paul Heyman to back him up at WrestleMania to be in his corner. And then Roman Reigns started laughing. He was like, even if I would let him, he wouldn't want to. Come on, let him down easy. And then Paul Heyman didn't.
I can't, my tribal chief.
I can't, my tribal chief. And then, you know, Punk gave him the GTS. But the thing that happened on this week's Raw was that Heyman came out and said that he will always be faithful to his tribal chief and his best friend. So then Seth came out. I swear to God, Seth is so good in this entire thing. Everyone's talking about Punk and Roman, and I cannot stop looking at Seth. He's so good. And he was like, whose side are you on? He told Heyman that Roman Reigns doesn't care about him and that he doesn't respect him. That Roman Reigns left after WrestleMania and left Paul Heyman to be powerbombed on the announce table.
And you then made good points.
Tell him when he's telling lies.
Oh, that was good.
When he's telling lies. That was so good. And then he mentioned. Punk rescued him, but after he left for years and years, and then he came back to back him up at War Games again, just for a favor. He helped Roman and Paul Heyman just so he can get a favor out of Paul Heyman. So he did mention that Seth Rollins himself was the first person to get asked for War Games and Punk was the last one. That's also incredibly, incredibly interesting. So he just wanted to remove Paul Heyman from the situation. And he was like, how much are you worth? And then he started shoving him. And then CM Punk came out and, you know, tried to rescue Paul Heyman. And I was like, where were you this entire time?
Yeah.
How can Paul Heyman look Punk in the eye, call him his best friend, while Punk, you know, Jeff Hardy came down to the ring to rescue his brother with more urgency than Punk came out to rescue Paul Heyman. So,
yeah. That would have been great if CM Punk would have done that in the ring, though.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So what happened was that Seth Rollins and Punk brawled a bit. And so Seth Rollins curb-stomped Punk, and then he went to curb-stomp Paul Heyman, but he stopped himself. And then he said, now you owe me a favor.
Yeah. I loved it. Yeah, that was good. That's what we call good shit, pal.
With each and every passing week, I get a reassurance that Seth Rollins is winning this triple threat. Mm. I mean, he's the only one that absolutely needs to win this triple threat.
Do you think, I've seen it in our chat, and like a couple of people say it, do you think Seth Rollins leaves with Paul Heyman?
It's going to be a really intriguing storyline, but I don't know if he needs Paul Heyman.
He doesn't need Paul Heyman.
Because there are people on that roster that absolutely need Paul Heyman. Bron Breakker is one of them. But Seth Rollins doesn't need Paul Heyman. But it's going to be incredibly intriguing if they make something out of it.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really interesting if they do.
Yeah. So, well, as we know, next week we have a lot of we have a lot of predictions to do. We'll have NXT Stand and Deliver. We'll have WrestleMania. We'll have WrestleMania Night 1 and 2. So, lots to do, lots to preview there. But just going to do a quick rundown of the card here that's been announced. They did announce the War Raiders defending their titles against the New Day this afternoon. But we also have Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre, Jade Cargill versus Naomi, Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano, the United States Championship LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu, the Intercontinental Champion four-way match, Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor, Penta, and Bron Breakker. You have AJ Styles versus Logan Paul, You have the WWE's Women's Championship match, Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair, Gunther versus Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then the Women's World Championship, Io Sky versus Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley, Roman Reigns versus CM Punk versus Seth Rollins, triple threat match. You have Cody Rhodes versus The Undertaker. I think they also announced the Street Profits today, but maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe.
What was that about The Undertaker?
Did I say The Undertaker?
Yes.
What did I say The Undertaker?
I don't know. I just heard The Undertaker. I'm like, that he's not on the card.
I don't know where I said The Undertaker. I don't know why I would have said The Undertaker. Why the hell would I say The Undertaker? Anyways, he'll be in town. He'll be doing one of his shows. Did I say The Undertaker, people?
You did say The Undertaker.
Please let me know what I said before. Why the hell did I say The Undertaker? Maybe he's wrestling Giant Gonzalez again like he did WrestleMania 9. Well, now, actually, that would be impressive because, unfortunately, Giant Gonzalez is no longer with us. But if anybody could bring him back, it'd be the Dead Man. Anyways.
I swear to God.
Damian Priest. Versus Drew McIntyre. So maybe I did say Undertaker. Maybe I did say it. I don't know. I don't think.
I swear to God, if Logan Paul beats AJ Styles.
Oh my God. I'm going to lose my shit, pal.
I'm just going to be so fucking furious, man. And everything points at this exact finish. By the way, that Logan Paul is in fact going to be at AJ Styles. And I'm just Rob and I are going to be having a rough time. Mm-hmm. On our show after WrestleMania. Just, we're going to need you guys a lot if this ends up being, you know, the case. No, man.
Yeah.
Tune in next week because we are going to be talking about NXT. We rarely get to talk about NXT and I'm going to rant a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, guys, Maggie, I'll let you do the preview.
The Cooper Effect presentation. Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, this is going to be a special video for a really, really wonderful friend a friend of our awesome doc, Chris Mueller, because he often sent me, you know, videos of this extremely, extremely wonderful, beautiful cat that you're about to see. Her name is Beatrix. And I kept telling him, this is probably the most beautiful cat I've ever seen. And then he shared the story that Beatrix had with her wonderful owner. And now we're going to, you know, present you guys with a video of the story. Of course, narrated by our lovely Chris, the voice of God. Yes, I really wanted for us to talk about, you know, this amazing story because it just goes to show you every time Chris does something, he reminds us that, you know, sometimes people are wonderful and every day that a horrible, horrible human being is being an ass to you, just remember that people like Chris exist out there in the universe and people like his friend also exist. So Rob, yeah.
And just so you know, like this video is about 5 minutes. So basically we will come back and do our plugs and in the show, but
enjoy a beautiful cat for 5 minutes. That's what we meant.
Yeah. So we'll get started. Here we go.
Law school for 2 years. And when we had to part ways, I felt like it was time for me to get a cat, which I've since Chloe is likely in court today defending somebody, I'm going to tell you Beatrix's story in Chloe's words. So here we go. I lived with my best friend in law school for 2 years. And when we had to part ways, I felt like it was time for me to get a cat, which I've been dreaming of doing for a while. Right before my third year of law school, I was on Pet Finder and I saw a cat that seemed like a good fit for me. It turns out he had just been adopted. The shelter asked me some questions about myself anyway, to see if they had any other cats that would be a good fit. It turns out the cat I asked about had a sister, and they hadn't listed her on the website because they were concerned that she was too closed off to be adopted. She and her brother, I think, maybe one or two other siblings, although I'm not sure what happened to them, were found in a dumpster and brought to the shelter. After a little while, they went to a foster home with several other cats. She was having a very hard time coming out of her shell. The person I spoke to from the shelter told me that she was just extremely shy and didn't like to have any contact with people and prefer to hang out with senior cats in the foster home. They were reluctant to list her for adoption because I guess in the past they had had people try to rehome cats if they weren't as friendly as they expected them to be. But she said she wanted to mention it to me because my living situation sounded like it might be good for her. After a pretty thorough interview and an application, they agreed to let me adopt her. They still warned me that I might have to go so far as to restrict food to get her to bond with me, which, trust me, I never planned on doing. And thankfully, we never had to do that. It's funny, because when I start to think about getting a cat, I told my brother I didn't really have any specifics in mind. I just didn't want a white cat because I have so many black clothes. And of course, when they sent me a picture of this cat, she was all white with a few patches on her face and her tail, but she was adorable, and I couldn't say no after hearing her story. I went to go pick her up at the shelter, and her name was Taylor. Since she was still pretty young, I asked them to change it to Beatrix on her paperwork after one of my favorite illustrators, Beatrix Potter. She looked absolutely terrified, and the first few days in my apartment, it seemed like the shelter was going to be right. I set Beatrix up in her own little room with all the essentials, including a fuzzy little bed. And for the first 3 days that I had her, she hid under the bed 24/7. And came out to eat and use the litter box when I was asleep or in class. I would sit just outside the room or inside near the door and just read or do homework. On the third day, I lifted her bed up and tried to give her a treat, and she did the most afraid, pathetic little hiss. To this day, it's the only time she's ever hissed at me, which I think shows just how scared she was. But on the fourth day, I was away from home a little bit, and when I got home, I sat in the room just playing on my phone, and I'll never forget looking up and seeing her slowly wiggle out from under the bed. I basically just sat there all night long, and slowly but surely, she came closer. I tried to pet her, and she let me, and she just kept opening up more and more after that. It still took her a little while to reach different milestones, but in the span of a week, she came so far out of her shell, and in a month, she was basically a completely different cat. Her favorite toy still is the first one I ever got her, which is a little orange plushie. She absolutely loves to play fetch with it, although she loves to play fetch with anything. She's kind of afraid of heights, and she still doesn't like to be picked up, but she loves water and being brushed, and she's probably the most cuddly cat I have ever met. I would say her other most favorite thing to do is sit in the windowsill and watch the birds or stand on my chest first thing in the morning when I wake up and make biscuits on her quilt. She has sophisticated taste and treats, her favorite being deli ham, which she gets very sparingly. I've had her for a little over a year and a half, and we have both changed a lot. She has been with me for graduating law school, passing the bar, and getting my first job as an attorney, moving, and all of that. I could not have done it without her. We were absolutely meant to spend our lives together. And besides completely coming out of her shell, surprise, she's actually a full brown calico.
What is it? Beatrix? What are you talking about? Tell me what's wrong.
Oh, that was cool. That was good. So that was good. Thank you, Chris, for that. That was awesome. And man, just shows how good animals are. But yeah.
Yeah, so watching a really fluffy kitty on a video being narrated by Chris is probably, you know, the highlight of my day. So thank you so much for this. Incredibly, incredibly cool story. I hope that there are, you know, other people like just adopt and save animals. Just don't buy, okay? Don't spend money on things that you can save and adopt, you know? Just don't do that.
Yes. Please. Please, please, please adopt.
Yes.
Please. But, Maggie, plug your stuff.
Guys, you can follow me on Zeal Twixter or Twitter or X or whatever you guys want to call it, at Maggie_IK. You can follow me also on Instagram at Maggie.IK and on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK. I'll be on the True Heel Heat channel next Thursday for WrestleMania predictions. 3 hours. No, I'm kidding. It's not going to be a 3-hour show, I hope.
It'll be 4.
Yeah, like SP3 and I tend to rant a lot, and you know, it's WrestleMania, so it's a double rant. I can't wait. You can join us then. Please, please leave a like on the video. It helps us out a lot. And after you've done watching the video, please leave a comment below. It helps us out a lot with the algorithm. It helps people find us. And by God, do people need to find us. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. Support all the shows on Fightful Overbook. We have wonderful, wonderful shows. We have Spotlight. We have Wrestling Made Me Cry. We have In the Weeds.
Yeah. So lots to watch and
a lot of stuff to watch. Rob?
Guys, follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob and on Threads at Fightful Rob. We will see you again here next week for a full day of predictions for WrestleMania, NXT Stand and Deliver, and who knows what else we'll be covering. I know I'll want to talk about GCW Bloodsport for sure. I need to see what time that airs because I know I want to watch that. So I hope that doesn't go on at the same time as our show. Which it might, because that's usually, I don't know. Now I'm curious. Okay. We'll have to figure that out. But guys, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in. And we really do appreciate you every week that you do this. That because of you guys and you spending that time with us, we know you're making the
sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
Yeah. Yep. I got it still. Guys, take it easy. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.